I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 659. This is your host, Danny. I'm live here in New York City. And guess what I have here, man? My boy. Way back. Hip-hop gamer, man.
Yeah.
Hip-hop gamer. What's up, man?
Yo, son. I want to beat you in Super Mario.
Oh, Super
Mario
Kart?
Yeah. You brought your Switch up here like you ready, son. You know what I'm saying?
Actually,
I might have to borrow Brian's Switch and play against you.
Actually, for those that don't know, we were playing NBA Playgrounds, right?
Yes.
That was pretty dope. And we got to meet Matthew and the whole team.
Yeah, the whole team over at Saber Interactive. That was great. I'm glad they came through. They based out in Jersey. So I think what I feel is really cool is that we finally got it back. You know what I'm saying? Like a game that's just fun, straight up basketball. But the spin to it is that it's actually assimilation within the arcade world of gaming, and I think they hit it on a button, man. I think we're gonna see an NBA Playgrounds 2 after this.
Yeah.
I think they did a great job, and you almost had it at the end, man.
That was my second time I think playing it, and I did decent. It was decent. It wasn't great.
No, it was great for someone like you that played two times. Because there's still things you don't know about the game, and you still held your own, so I respect that.
We got to talk about more about that there.
Yeah.
All right, so head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Share the show with your friends, family members, whoever. Just share it. And you can also find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. All right, so hip-hop, man. So E3 is in a couple weeks. I know you're hype,
man.
I know you're
always
hype.
Always, baby.
So, I mean, I know there's been a lot of rumors and everything, but we have to talk about the big name right now. Project Scorpio.
Of course, man.
Xbox. They've been very quiet. I mean, everybody knows about the specs and everything, but
everything
the
else
thing
has been
that
quiet.
People have been talking about is like, where are the games? What is the price of this console?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, the price.
Okay.
Rumor. I feel that it can be more than $4.99. I think it might go as low as $3.99 or so around there. So no, you don't think so? What is it?
It ain't doing no $3.99, son. Like, I just don't see it for what they offering. Put it like this, if they do it at $3.99 for what they offering, then there's gonna be I think they're gonna be taking too much of a loss. But they already stated that it is a premium console with a premium price.
But they could surprise people easily by them saying everybody's expecting, oh man, it might be $500, maybe even $600. That's what people are saying,
right?
But Microsoft, okay, you know, like how Sony had their moment the first time they announced the price of PlayStation 4, that everybody went nuts, like, what, $399 for this?
This
could be their moment if they announce the right price during E3 and at the same time show the right games.
Yeah,
that's gonna make people want to buy the product, because honestly, you could mention the console is super cheap, but if you don't have the right games,
it ain't gonna matter.
No, it's not gonna matter at all, man. You know, but I think they do have the games. I think they do. They just been kind of quiet, like, let everybody sleep. You know.
But see, I'm gonna finish up on the price, but I also want to talk about the games.
Yeah.
Now, Remedy, like, blatantly came out and said, we're not doing no more Xbox exclusives. And
they have a deal with 505 Games now.
Yeah, but one of the things that they, like, on record saying is that we're not doing no more Xbox exclusives, period. Mm-hmm. So that's one that's like, well, damn, like, they came out like just saying that so blatantly, I wonder what happened behind the scenes. Then two, the Scalebound scenario where they lost that, which was, I was really looking forward to that. And then three, we still haven't seen what Cuphead is gonna, when that's eventually gonna come out.
Well, I play Cuphead.
Yeah, I played it too, but yeah, that was years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even last year they had it, but it's been talked about for so long. Then you come around, you know, you got the triple threat effect, which is Forza, Halo, and Gears.
Well, there is no Halo, no Gears this year.
Yeah, no, I know. But what I'm saying is, because of that, they gotta come with something that's gonna make you go crazy. Because here's the problem, and me and Paris was talking about this too, you know, on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, here's the problem. When you see games like Death Stranding, Gran Turismo Sport, Days Gone,
Spider-Man. That's a big one.
Like, when you look at these games, and I'm just talking about looks. And the reason I'm talking about looks, because Xbox is talking power, power, power. And our game's going to be able to do this, and yours can't. Like, that's their message right now. Okay, when they go on stage, they got to show something that significantly shows you if it's going to cost more than PS4 Pro, and this is why. And then they also got to show you PS4 Pro got this. They got these exclusives. This is great. But what ends up on a Scorpio system will be better than what you get here. They have to make that clear, significant, where there's no doubt about it. There's no it can't be debatable. And I feel like that's where they're going to struggle at.
I think that they have something cooking, because I don't know if you follow like Aaron and everybody else, Albert Pinello and Phil and everybody else.
Yeah, of course. I had conversations.
They sound very confident about this year's E3 conference. So
okay,
I think they do have something cooking, and I think that they're gonna have stuff that is gonna surprise everyone.
I believe so too.
Because honestly, dude, why would they release the specs now to Digital Foundry?
Yeah,
early.
They're the number one critic.
Yeah. They're confident. So I think that they do have some surprises. Dude, we might even see some classic games we haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Making a comeback. Like, we don't know. But it's possible. I see that. So yeah, if they show the right games and they have the right price, I think they can have a major, major buzz for E3. I mean, why would they want their press conference on a Sunday for the first time?
Yeah, exactly.
Then on a Monday, because usually this is what happens. Like, for those that don't know, to go to E3, usually Microsoft have their press conference on a Monday, so they get the buzz for like at least 24 hours, and then Sony and Nintendo's the next day.
Yeah.
But now they have an opportunity to have a buzz for more than 24 hours, 48 hours now. You know, so I think they got something cooking, man. Something big. I think so.
Well, here's what I would say, right? Wait, hold on. I think you said that wrong. Microsoft and Sony, they always had it on the same day.
Hold on. Let me go back.
They got 24 hours now instead of a few hours.
Yeah. Well,
that's what it is.
Let me go back. Even before that, my bad. Sony had their press conference on Tuesday before, way back. And then, was it a couple of years ago? I think ever since the PlayStation 4, even before, maybe a year or two before that, they started doing it on a Monday night.
Yeah, Monday night.
You're right, because I used to go to the Microsoft party, like a showcase party they have at night, right after the Sony press conference. So, yeah, but still, for them having it on a Sunday, it's a whole extra day, no matter what. They have a whole extra day ahead of Sony.
And they get to own that internet. They get to own the internet and have everybody talking about them and them only.
Yeah.
Now, here's my question to you, right? For the past 2-3 years, Sony's been kicking everybody ass when it comes to this. Well, I would say between Sony and Microsoft directly, Sony has been the company that's for like the past 3 years straight has been the dominant, like, in terms of what everybody's talking about after a press conference and during E3 and after E3, Sony's been the most talked about and had the most impact, right?
I could tell you what happened in a few, but go for it. Go ahead.
Okay. No, but what I would say is, what, in your opinion, you feel Microsoft, if you're Phil Spencer, and you know the community and you know what's needed to resurrect Xbox in a bigger way with the community, like how it was back in the 360 era or whatever, mm-hmm. like, what would you do? What would be your suggestion? How would you handle this? Because honestly, there's a lot, more than you know, there's a lot riding on this particular E3 coming up right now.
Here's the difference between Microsoft when it comes to like their press conference. So, and Sony, Microsoft always show games as either coming out during the holidays or the year later after that.
Right.
Sony has been known as, yo, we got this game, but doesn't come out in 2 or more, even 3, even sometime even 6 years from the time that they show at a press conference. But they still get a buzz from everybody, like Shenmue. I was the first person to put money to the Kickstarter campaign because I'm a fan of that game. But it's been a couple of years. You know, they never mentioned the date when it's coming out.
Yeah.
They always said this game is coming out for the PlayStation 4. For example, another one, Kingdom Hearts. They showed also Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
So they are pretty good at hyping the crowd up at the moment.
Yeah.
And everybody gets excited. Now, I feel like Microsoft doesn't really need to do that, man. Show me games. Look, Scorpio is coming out this year. Show me games that is going to make me buy the Scorpio this year. Because if they show a game like Sony, that they usually do that, like, oh, it comes out in a couple years from now.
Okay.
At the moment, really, that's the reason for you to buy a Scorpio? I think that's wrong. Like, in my opinion,
yeah.
Show me stuff now for the holidays. I'm going to go and buy the Scorpio.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Right?
So
now, Xbox is talking heavily about how, hey, our games is going to look better. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the third parties and stuff like that. So
if the third party still also work with it, it could even be better. It could look even better,
yeah,
too.
So but here's my thing.
Yeah.
With the relationships that Sony got with Destiny, Red Dead Redemption 2, Call of Duty, Tekken 7, like all of these third party relationships, marketing partnerships, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's gonna matter if the Xbox One, if the Xbox Scorpio looks a little bit better than the PS4 Pro counterpart, knowing that PS4 Pro from a business standpoint mm-hmm. got these deals? Do you think that's even gonna matter? And also, the difference between the PS4 Pro and the Xbox Scorpio in terms of the era that's coming is that when you look at PS3 and 360, PS3, because it had the cell processor, a lot of their multi-platforms didn't run well. Whereas the 360s, they ran great.
Great. Well, it was a different
architecture.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, it's not that, like in this situation, the Scorpio, it may run better, but the PS4 Pro doesn't run bad. So I feel like there's just a slightly different dynamic this era as opposed to last era. You understand?
We were having a conversation when we were coming over here to the studio.
Right.
And the conversation was about PC gaming. I'm like, oh, so hip-hop. So what?
You already know I'm on that, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, hip-hop, I know you play a lot of PC games now.
Hell yeah, son.
What about the consoles? And you were like, I only play for the exclusives.
Yeah.
So that's the point I was trying to tell you, hip-hop, that now I don't care much about the third party. I could play that any time,
right,
or any other console. Yeah, they might have a couple exclusives here and there, but the most important thing is exclusive. So if Sony doesn't have an exclusive, or Microsoft,
wait, hold on, you said if Sony doesn't have an exclusive,
I'm just saying for this year, like at the moment, like show without exclusive, that's not gonna make me buy a console. So Microsoft need to show exclusives. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of third-party games,
yeah,
but where's the first-party games? Sony got the first-party games. You know, Horizon, The Last of Us Part 2, Spider-Man. That's first-party exclusives. That is going to make me buy
a Scorpio.
A PlayStation.
Yeah, PlayStation 4 Pro.
4
yeah.
Pro, you know?
Yeah.
But if Microsoft just show third-party games that looks good, really, that's going to make you buy a Scorpio? Because that's not going to
Well, at this point, I don't think anything is going to make me buy a Scorpio.
No.
Listen. I'm gonna tell you why.
Go.
Because, you know, I have an amazing partnership with an amazing company called Origin PC.
Yeah.
And I can't reveal the specs yet.
No, but that's different. Hip-hop, that's different. That's different.
I got Xbox Scorpio x8.
but that's different. My thing is, My thing is, the majority of people can't afford a PC. The majority of people will buy a console.
I get it.
So, yeah, let's say let's make believe Scorpio's $399. Let's just make believe. Oh, which is not going to be probably not $399.
If Scorpio's $399, it's flying off the shelves. Facts.
Yeah, but
facts. It's but not,
why?
I don't care.
Why? Because of the looks?
No,
you
dude.
You need software, man.
No, listen. Scorpio.
You need software.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something else that a lot of people is not talking about when it comes to Scorpio. First off, there's a reason why there's 4 gigs dedicated specifically to the UI, okay? Mm-hmm. The esports / live streaming, like that whole community that we see, all the videos that they make and all this other stuff, Scorpio is going to be a multitasking console beast for creative people that want to make videos and live stream. And play this, what we doing right now, like podcasting and stuff like that, These is all abilities that I'm hearing that's going to be enabled through Xbox Scorpio. Now, think about it like this. Imagine having a console that you can also make money on because of the features that it has built in it. And what I mean by that is, yeah, of course you can live stream on your PlayStation and do all these other things. That's great and make money on that too. But I'm talking about to the extent like that Xbox Scorpio will be able to pull off simply because of the power of the system. That's the thing that a lot of people are not talking about. Just the capabilities that the community is into.
So let's say, for example, Beam.
Exactly.
Like something like
that,
okay.
Beam, that's crazy right there. And I feel like this is the opportunity to capitalize even more, like how Xbox 360 did with the Xbox Live. Even back in the day when we were talking about the GamerScore blog and all the other stuff back in the day, you know, the early in 2008 with E3 and stuff, when we was talking about that, they got to get back to the community that loves them and supports them. And they do that, they're going to sell like crazy.
Yeah, and at the same time too, you know, a lot of the gamers buy games digitally. But sometimes they don't have enough to buy the next game. Why not sell the digital game that you have, get some extra credit from the store?
Yeah. Oh,
and also use that.
That's another thing.
To buy. Sony could also do that too.
Yeah, Sony. No, not this is happening. I can tell you right now. We live on Game Tag Radio. This episode 695, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
659.
650.
Right?
Wait, Brian. Right?
Shout out to Brian.
All right, shout out to Brian. All right, so here's the deal. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you right now, because I had a ton of conversations like behind the scenes as well, even with other companies, even shout out to Liquid Sky, because Liquid Sky is doing some amazing things. But I'm going to tell you, dude, they like GameStop, they're going to have to adjust, or that I don't know what's going to happen, because there is a system being put in place very soon where your digital games can be like traded in. You could like sell your license of the digital game back to the store or with another person and share that value. So the same thing that you used to do when you go to the store, return something, you could do that digitally from your house. It's about son. E3, son.
E3's gonna be dope.
Crazy.
Xbox, PlayStation. We haven't talked about Nintendo, man. Nintendo,
they not showing up.
They are. They're gonna have Nintendo.
I mean,
Direct, but they're not gonna have a press conference. I think you're actually sleeping on them, dude. You're sleeping on Nintendo.
No, Nintendo is sleeping on Nintendo.
No. They're selling units,
come
man.
Come on, man.
They were number one last month. The month that they came out.
Listen.
They could be number one again, hip-hop.
Dude.
They could be number one again.
Let me explain something to you. Like, I'm not sleeping on Nintendo. I understand what Nintendo is doing. I'm a game. I get everything. I get it. But here's the problem. Talk to me about Nintendo doing what they're doing now, 2 years from now. Anybody could do something out the gate. That's just like a new album dropping from somebody. It's the first week. 9 times out of 10, more people's going to be quicker to get it because it just came out and there's hype around it. So, okay, it's the same thing with the Switch. There's hype around it. It just came out. Okay, fine. Here's my thing, right? Mm-hmm. I want to see how Nintendo Switch performed 2 years from now. I want to see if that same energy is there. Because if it's not going up as the years go by, then you had a good moment. And then that's it.
You know they're outselling.
Facts, right, B? That's what I'm talking about.
You want a fact? You know they're outselling the original Wii at this like the time frame for like a month.
Okay.
You know they're outselling the original Wii, right?
Yeah, I do.
And Mario Kart just came out.
Yeah.
Which I think if you look at their release dates for all the games that's coming out.
Right.
Smart marketing, I think, man. Release Zelda first. You got the Zelda crowd, right?
Right.
Which, it's a lot of units.
Of course.
But yo, Mario Kart is selling like crazy.
Yeah. But you're not telling me, here's the problem in your argument.
Oh, what's the problem?
Here's the problem. You're not telling me anything like new. Oh, Mario's selling. Duh.
But wait,
it's Mario.
But
of course it's going to sell.
But it's the same thing.
Zelda,
but it's the same thing with PlayStation.
What's the same thing?
They have,
who would have known Horizon Zero Dawn,
no, that's
a brand new IP, is going to do.
But that's rare.
Yeah,
man.
But it's
that's
Sony.
Rare.
When did Nintendo ever do that? When was the last time Nintendo had a brand new IP out the gate come
Splatoon.
Out?
Splatoon.
Okay, how much?
Well, I don't know the units, but on top of my head, yo, Splatoon is pretty up there too, man. And I remember when also Pikmin came out years ago.
Yeah, but Pikmin is old. That's not no brand new title.
But we're talking about when new IPs came out from the system, it created a buzz. It was unique. Yeah. But the thing is, Horizon is one of those rare cases, man. Like, look, Uncharted. What was the other one from that came out during the time when PlayStation 4 came out? It was kind of like open world.
Infamous Second Son.
Yeah.
You talking about that?
Okay, yeah. So when the Infamous came out, it didn't really create a huge buzz. It was a great game.
It was a great game, it was the third game in the franchise.
I know, but I'm just mentioning names like when it came out that time. Not now.
Okay.
So that one, The Last of Us, one of those rare games. Created a huge buzz, game of the year and everything. But
even Heavy Rain. Even Heavy Rain when it first came out on PS3.
But it wasn't hip hop.
It was a success when people thought it wouldn't be.
Nah, it's not. It was good for the hardcore PlayStation crowd, but mainstream like Uncharted or The Last of Us, man.
No, not. I'm not saying it was like that, but what I'm saying is it was successful for the budget that they invested in and the return on profit that they got from the sales that they made on a game like Heavy Rain. Mm-hmm. Think about it like this. What other platform is giving you give you this much variety in games exclusively?
But that doesn't matter, hip hop. At the end of the day, it's about the sales, man.
Okay, so if it's about the sales, Xbox One.
The conversation that we're having is about sales.
Yeah, okay, about sales.
Yeah,
so if you look at, all right, everybody that's listening right now, let's talk some sales real quick. Xbox One and PS4 came out a week apart. Now
hip-hop,
Sony is 25 million ahead. 25 million ahead.
Hip hop, we're talking about the games. We're not talking about the consoles, man. We're talking about...
You're talking sales. That means games and consoles.
Sales about the game. So the
game sales. Right, okay, I got you.
I love... Is it the last Dawn? Is it something Dawn? They came up for the... It's a horror game for the...
Oh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn.
That's my joint. I
haven't played
in
a while. Sorry, my bad.
All right, cool.
I freaking love that game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not mainstream success. It was a failure... As a mainstream success.
Yeah. Okay.
But us, that we're like hardcore, we love it.
We love it.
I love that game.
I love it too.
And it was dope because I could sit down, I'm playing, my fiance gets involved, like, oh, you should do this. You should go pick this.
I love games like that.
It's dope. Great experience, everything. But at the end of the day, actually, I don't know if I can mention this. We were having a conversation at High 97, and we were talking about NBA Jam. Why they're not releasing another NBA Jam? Because why?
Because they felt the sales wouldn't be as big as they needed to be to invest in it.
And at the end of the day, it sucks, but it's like, it's part of the business, hip-hop.
Okay.
It's part of the business.
So here's what I would say. Here's my final thing on the Nintendo Switch. Switch is a dope console.
And you're going to play after this.
And I'm going to play after this.
yeah.
But also, just for those that's listening, I'm the one who broke the story on the Nintendo Switch. May 2014, I was the person that told everybody I had a Superboy in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And because you could put the cartridge in the Superboy and you could also hook your Superboy up to your TV. And I was telling them that I spoke with some people behind the scenes and they told me that Nintendo was doing a hybrid system for the first time in terms of a truly hybrid system, just like what you see now. And I broke the story on it. So I already knew what was coming and I was like, yes, because this is going to work for them. Here's my issue with Nintendo Switch and just Nintendo period. They keep relying on Zelda and Mario and Metroid, all these games.
But
to
every company do.
No, they don't. No, they don't, man. You
hip-hop,
lying.
Hip-hop,
you lying.
Hip-hop.
Do you want me to do this to you?
Microsoft, their games is Forza and Halo.
What's Sony's games?
God of War. Now is The Last of Us now because they're
I'm
know,
about to yo B
Uncharted.
B, I'm about to smash him on his own show.
But hip hop, it's the truth.
No, it's
like,
not.
They know they're gonna those games are gonna help them sell.
No, of course it's going to help them sell, but here's the point
but
I'm trying
here's
to...
The thing. Here's the
okay,
thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Nintendo, and let's be real, they're the number one developers when it comes to first party, more than... You don't think so?
The number one developers.
Don't tell me.
Let me think about this real quick. Let me think about this. When it comes to first party,
it's the truth.
They're the number one developers.
Yes.
Since the 80s, wait, till now. Do you mean in terms of like the performance of a game, or are you just talking about uniqueness, creativity,
or whatever?
The amount of first party games
they release every year on the 3DS and their console, even if it flopped or not. It's a lot of first-party games, more than Sony, more than Xbox, and that's the truth. That's the truth. Hip hop.
Okay, I'm gonna say. Wait. I'm gonna say two things.
All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's do a test right now.
Okay.
Can you name at least ten first-party Nintendo games, and I'll name 10 first-party PlayStation games, and I guess we could see like who did the best job. Yeah. And now, here's the only problem. I know Godfrey gonna be like, okay, Super Mario 1, Super Mario 2, Super Mario 3, Super Paperboy, Super this, Super that. Come on, like, remember, that's what I'm saying. It's like, come on, man. I'm talking about franchises.
That's what I'm saying. You just answered my question.
Yeah.
They have the majority. But first party games.
They got the majority first party games, but not the majority in variety and uniqueness and creativity.
But come on.
No, they don't. Let's battle right now.
You can't be serious.
So, All right, so let's go. Right?
Yeah.
If you look at Sony, right? Okay. And this is the other part I wanted to tell you. If you look at the PlayStation 1 era, right? During that era, Crash Bandicoot was like their mascot at that time, right?
At that time, yeah.
Then it's back, right? It's not a Sony thing. It's a different publisher. Here's the point I'm trying to make. During the PlayStation 1 era, you had Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
You had Ridge Racer. You had Gran Turismo had debuted on the first PlayStation. You had Crash Bandicoot. That was like their mascot and stuff like that, right? Okay. Then you go to the PlayStation 2 era. They introduced God of War. They introduced Killzone. What else did they introduce? I'm trying to think off the top of my head right now. Because it was so many games. They had, even though it's Grand Theft Auto, it was exclusive for a moment.
But that doesn't really count.
I'm just talking about from an exclusive standpoint, that's what you're saying.
But that wasn't a new IP at the time because it was originally for the PC.
As a new IP, you're right. But with PlayStation 2, they introduced, like I said, they introduced God of War, which was big, and they introduced Killzone, which was big. Then you go to PlayStation 3, they introduced Heavy Rain, they introduced MotorStorm, they introduced Uncharted, they introduced Last of Us. You go to and if you go to PlayStation 4, they introduced.
Wait! PlayStation 3, what happened? You skipped.
No, I'm just naming a few games in each generation.
Okay.
Then PlayStation 4, they introduced Knack. They introduced Death Stranding that we're seeing now.
You love Knack, huh?
I love Knack. That's my joint. I love Knack. Don't be hating. They introduced Drive Club, which is fire too. Don't play me. So then, it's fire. Then they introduced Days Gone and stuff like that. So the point is, each generation dealing with Sony, they introduced to you something new. That they didn't have to carry something from their very first generation into every single generation to survive. That's what I'm saying, Brian. That's what I'm trying to say. If you look at PlayStation 1, Siphon Filter was on PlayStation 1. We never seen it again on PS3 and PS4.
Was it Soulcom?
We ain't seen all that. But so hip-hop. What I'm saying is they didn't have to rely. Jak and Daxter, we haven't seen that in a long time. So the hip-hop. Point is they don't have to rely on every game that came from every generation to be successful in a new generation. They always introduce new games. Every time Nintendo came out, they had Mario with them. Every single time Nintendo came out, Mario was there. Has there ever been a generation where Mario did not exist in Nintendo world?
Dude, it will be stupid marketing if they don't do that.
That's the point.
It's the same thing with PlayStation and Xbox.
Right, you see what I'm trying to say, right?
Sony
is more creative where they could bring you something new and make you appreciate them. They reinvent themselves way more than any other company. Nintendo don't reinvent themselves. they reinvent a brand that was
serious?
Already successful.
You're serious about that? You're serious about that?
Son, Super Mario Brothers, Super
game?
Mario Kart.
Okay.
They take the same successful franchise name and remodel it.
No, I'm not saying that they're perfect. I'm not saying that. But
so that proves
but
my point.
At the same time, hip hop. You know, they change the game when it comes to handheld. They change the game with even consoles, because honestly, Sony and Microsoft try to copy Nintendo because of the whole motion control and everything, which it wasn't really
well,
all that.
Well, you're forgetting something.
But you're saying
PlayStation 2 had the iToy first. And that was exactly what that was. It just didn't have the controller. The iToy was exactly that.
Hip hop. Really? You're going to go there with a power glove?
Wait, say it again?
Power Glove and Nintendo, really, you're going to go there?
So what?
That's motion. That's kind of like the motion thing, man. Controlling okay. with that. That was in the 80s, man.
Yeah. Well, check this out.
Your guys are behind.
Check this out.
You guys are behind.
Check this out. Here's what I would say. Here's what I would say.
Yeah.
Nintendo is great at creating things, but...
We need Nintendo
but
in this
Sony,
industry.
Oh, First of all, we need Microsoft, we need Sony, and we need Nintendo.
Oh,
we need them all.
Yeah.
Because each one of them learned from one another and made it better. Each one of them.
Yeah, you're right.
Because Microsoft, with the Xbox Live, where would we be at without Xbox Live? Yo, Microsoft, you got to give them props. And they put the hard drive in the system with the original Xbox. It's crazy. Sony, with the backwards compatibility and putting the DVD in the drive. Like, you know...
Let me tell you, that changed the game.
That changed the game big time.
Completely,
and then Nintendo with the Rumble Pack, and like, just so many things they made. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Everybody did things, but Sony took something that Nintendo did and made it better, which becomes standard in the industry.
Boy, that's part of competition.
But so, yeah.
I think that
this is a good debate.
I think that Sony and Microsoft are really like, oh my god, looking at the Switch, like, I think they got something planned in the future.
I really don't think so.
But hear this, if this is very successful, You think they're not gonna do this? They're not gonna try to do something kind of similar and have their consoles there on the side too? They're not gonna like stay away because you're huge sellers, man.
No, you know I don't think Sony or Microsoft would do it because they learned their lesson already. PlayStation 3.
So you're basically saying Vita is done. PlayStation handhelds is done.
I think they are. Because there's, listen. Let's be real. You have to come to a point in time where no matter how big you are, you got to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And it's like NBA Live trying to compete with 2K. No,
it's not gonna happen.
Nintendo owns the handheld market. That's it.
Yeah.
Period. I feel that PS Vita is a great secondary system, you know, behind the 3DS. It's a better system to me, but in terms of the way Nintendo has captured the handheld, like,
software-wise,
they're the champions. Facts. So my thing is, I feel like it's just like with Nintendo. Nintendo to me is the alternative console. Like, that's the one you get afterwards. Even when we were sitting down talking with Matthew for NBA Playgrounds and they were talking about the Switch, the quality is going to be a little less.
Well, it's different.
But it's blah, blah, blah.
It's different because...
Exactly. It's a secondary system.
Yeah, but it's like...
You're not going to play NBA 2K or no damn
but
Switch.
But I'm out there on the go playing these games. It's like, you know, when you buy a game, you know how it's going to look like. I hope people do some research before they buy a game. I hope they don't buy the game because of the hype and because of the name. No.
People do that a lot, though.
They need to do their research. Do your research.
Yes.
Before spending $60 on the game.
Yeah.
And make your move, you know? But, I asked them about that because I don't know much about the Switch version. Like, I know the PlayStation and PlayStation and Xbox version is going to be good.
Right.
But what about the Switch? A new handheld? Well, not handheld, but more hybrid console. You could take it out on the go and stuff. But, yeah, that was a great conversation.
That was a great conversation.
But that's what makes
Gamertag Radio great. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Always freestyling.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? You get real conversations.
I even had Brian here. Like, he's like, yeah, man, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I disagree. I agree. Yeah.
Well,
you guys got great points.
Yeah. But this is good. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, son.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Is there any third parties that you think is going to make like some crazy, crazy buzz this year?
I mean, besides Rockstar Games with Red Dead Redemption 2, I feel like that's going to shock everybody. But
do you think they're going to show? Because look, Rockstar, they're known not to be at E3.
Yeah.
They might show a video. That's the most I could, maybe, yeah. But them actually being there, like having a booth, they haven't done that.
No, no, they wouldn't have a booth. I don't think they'll have a booth. I just think that because of their relationship with Sony and what's happening with Red Dead Redemption 2, I feel like Sony, yo, honestly, I think Sony could open up the conference with Red Dead Redemption 2. If they was to do something like that, and I'm talking about gameplay, just like how they did with God of War last year. You know what, they do something like that, people gonna pass out.
I think they should show a first party game first. And then have Red Dead somewhere in the middle, surprise everyone. And maybe have Destiny 2 for last. I think that will work for Sony, something like that.
Mm.
Like maybe show Spider-Man for the first time.
Oh, yeah, the first gameplay of it. Game. Yeah,
or
yeah, yeah.
Like last year, what was it? The first game they showed last year?
God of War,
God
baby.
God of War.
Come on,
so
son.
Why not open up with something? Because I think by you doing that, accompanied by doing that, it makes me like, man, they're freaking confident, man. They got the software, man.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But if they show a third-party game first, I don't know, man.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, I feel you on that because it's third-party. But, well, just to answer the first question in terms of, like, third-party, period, who I feel is going to have the biggest impact this year, yo, I'm going to be honest, man. Yo, I'm hearing a lot about this EA Star Wars Battlefront 2 game.
You think that's going to be the game that's going to create the big buzz?
And the reason why I say that is because there's a single player now, which is what everybody's been waiting for. And just looking at that trailer, for that trailer to be in-engine, that's crazy. Yeah. But overall, when I look at Activision, Ubisoft, EA.
Don't sleep on Activision, man.
Oh, I'm not sleeping on Activision.
Destiny
I'm
2?
Not,
that's going to be a big game,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. But so what you're asking is who's going to have the biggest, which third party is going to have the biggest buzz.
Biggest buzz.
Biggest buzz.
Third party.
I would go with Activision because Destiny 2 has been, they've been waiting so long for that.
And
like,
this is a PC game too.
Yeah, and it's on PC as well. Yeah, yeah. So I would go with Activision. And also, I want to see what Call of Duty does with World War II. And the reason why I say that is because they talked about they're going to touch on racism. They're going to touch on all these other things. And one of my problems with Call of Duty, and don't get me wrong, I love Call of Duty, period. Like, I rock with all of them. Even Call of Duty Ghosts that people say they don't like, I rock with all of them. I love Call of Duty. But my problem with Call of Duty is, like, for example, when Black Ops 3 came out, you was able to, make your own character, and you can use a male and a female in the game and stuff like that. You know, that was dope and stuff like that. That's cool. But Black Ops or Infinite Warfare, I think it was Black Ops 3 where you was able to use a female and stuff like that. So, but my thing is, you couldn't make the character black. You couldn't even, they didn't even have the skin tone for you to make it black. Like, you know what I'm saying? And to me, I feel like, and then now with, even with EA's Battlefield 1, like, you got a black man on the front cover and they don't even talk in the game, and they only represented for like 10 minutes and they're supposed to die because the Harlem Hellfighters thing. And then the people that was actually in the Harlem Hellfighters is nowhere in the actual game, in the storyline of Battlefield when the people die. Those people aren't even named. So I feel like I see what they're trying to do with Call of Duty World War II in terms of tell a real story and get everything done. But at the same time, I feel like they're trying to win over a crowd that they don't really understand. And I feel like that's a problem. But I will say this. Glenn Schofield, that's my dude. Michael Condrey, that's my dude. Mm-hmm. And Glenn Schofield really does have a passion for a lot of the injustices that
for
we see.
For those that don't know, who is that? For
yeah,
those that don't
Glenn know? Schofield, he's one of the co-founders of Sledgehammer Games.
Okay.
So
okay.
The thing is, he's the person, as a person, he cares about the injustices of the world and the politics and things that he sees. So I trust that this game is going to be.
But I think it's kind of hip-hop. It's gotten better, though. Like, compared to back in the 80s when we started gaming, it wasn't like that at all. So now I see a lot of people of color, you know, Latinos and blacks, now more involved in the industry and stuff, as developers or marketing or
I'm seeing it more.
But even in games, we get to see that more now. Like
we get to see it, but we don't get to control it. That's
course,
the difference.
I think that
there's a difference.
By you saying that, I think that's gonna help out, or us posting, you know, through social media.
Yeah, send just keep the conversation
going.
Yeah,
keep the conversation going.
To make it more balanced.
Yeah, that's
my
gonna thing. Help, man. That's gonna help big time, I think.
You know, because like, for example, Horizon Zero Dawn, it had a lot of diversity in that game, but you wasn't controlling a black person. You understand? This is just facts. If you look at even Call of Duty World War II, they're supposed to be talking a whole lot about racism and everything, but you're not controlling it. You know what I'm saying? So to me, what people gotta understand is when you're the end user, when you're controlling a person, think about it like this. Imagine a white person playing Mafia 3. Imagine like if you walk into a store and they call the cops on you just because you're black. Like all that stuff exists in the game. But why is it that every time you see a black lead, it has to deal with something like that? Like, even though that's real and it's factual and we appreciate it, but why always have to deal with something like that? Why can't we have just a fictionally made up character, just like how you have a Nathan Drake?
I'll give you a perfect example. I mean, even though a lot of people didn't really think the game wasn't like the greatest.
What, Starhawk?
Halo, the last Halo game.
I have a problem with that too.
No, but
I'm gonna tell you why I have a problem with
but
that.
But they had two main characters. One of them was black.
No, and see, y'all don't understand. You don't understand what's happening here.
No, but I see what you're saying.
No, you
though,
don't. No,
hip-hop.
You don't. Wait till you hear what I say.
Okay.
The character was black, yes, but the dude was famous. It's a famous black person. The problem is, if you're famous and black, you're considered normal.
If you're famous.
You're the average everyday person or fictional main character, you're not in that conversation. That's what I'm talking about. If you look at NBA 2K, of course you're going to have a black person.
The latest Mafia, was that a main?
No, Mafia 3, that was officially made a character. Look what it was about.
Or what about Watch Dogs? Wasn't Watch Dogs?
Yes, that's great. Okay. That's a good example.
Okay,
that's great.
I would just come here with names.
Nah, that's great. I'm in that game, by the way. Just let y'all know. Watch Dogs 2. Check me out.
Wait, but what is it? You're like voice actor, music?
No, I'm an NPC. So I'm a non-playable character. People done ran up on me, robbed me, shot me, all types of stuff in the game.
There you go. So you get angry with one of his hip hop reviews, go to Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, go to Watch Dogs 2 and go to Oakland City Hall. You can do something to me.
So you're always there?
Yeah, I'm always there. And the song that I deal with, Rapper DNA, Bad Rapper, is in there. So that's dope. But yeah, but my main thing is, like, when it comes to Halo, that's Michael Colton. That's the dude that played Luke Cage. Yeah, of course he's there. Even when you look at a lot of the Activision commercials when it comes to Call of Duty, you got Michael B. Jordan. They always, every time it's something black, it has to be something celebrity-wise. And if it's not celebrity-wise, it deals with a real scenario. So you can't have no choice but to have a black person to make the story make sense. Mm-hmm. So there's always some sort of Achilles heel to it. So seeing Watch Dogs 2 was great to see. But at the same time, that's one out of how many games?
Yeah.
Come on, it's ridiculous. Play this. Call of Duty's been around for 17 years. Never once had a black lead character. That's horrible.
That's kind of bad.
And I see right through it because this is my passion. Mm. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. So
and I think that was good.
That's good. So one more thing. What's going on with you? What's going on with you right now? Before we wrap it up.
Well, just let everybody know, I have a new show on Hot 97. It's a weekly show called We Got Game. So make sure y'all check that out. My man Godfrey is going to be on the second episode. So make sure y'all definitely check that out when it goes live on Hot 97.
Is Hot97.com or the YouTube channel?
Yeah, both. Hot97.com, the YouTube channel. You'll even see clips of it on Hot 97's Instagram. Dope. It's going to be pushed out big. That's the first thing. Second thing is pray for me, everyone. But I'm shooting my first pilot for BET, y'all. Yeah. So I'm trying to bring gaming to television again. Shout out to G4 and all the stuff that they've done in the past. But, you know, there's a new future. And my name is on it, and I can't go into too many details, but you'll see clips of it during the BET experience, June 22nd to the 25th, so that's great. And the third thing I'll let people know is I'm also working with this college called Coder Camps, so anybody that's interested in coding, making some good money, and like changing their life around, if they're interested in coding, making video games, and doing full-stack web development and stuff like that, my email is hiphopgamer@hiphopgamer.net. I could definitely hook you up and plug you in with the right people to get you started. And they have a job placement program after the 12 weeks that they complete. So the job placement program have jobs starting out at 70K a year starting. So, you know, we working, man. You know what I'm saying? That's so good, if y'all interested in that, there's definitely a way to give back to put people on. And other than that, just keep on gaming and get ready for you know, E3, man. That's it, baby.
Yeah, we're definitely going to record some more over there, man. And actually, yeah. I want you to do arm wrestle competition.
With Paris. Yeah, me and Paris, man. He up here lifting up that chump change, man.
By the way, we got to talk very quick before we wrap it up.
Okay.
The conversation that you and Paris are having about the price of Scorpio. Before we wrap it up. Can you say it very quick?
Yeah, of course.
All right, go for it.
Okay,
go
so my thing is, I think that it's going to be $449. And I say that because people that I've spoken with, and even certain reps at GameStop that said things that they wasn't supposed to say, it all signs at this point right now currently points to a $450 price. And if it's $450, even Paris was like, it's good. You know, for what they're offering, that's a real good price. But because Paris got that GTX 1080 in his system, he's not sure if he's going to go get it.
He's going to get it. He told me, he's like, look, if it's $399 or even $449, he'll get it.
He'll get it. Okay.
He said himself, it's gonna sell like crazy because of that price for the power of the
system. If it's $399, it's flying off shelves.
Yeah. But you think $449 won't either? That's not too expensive. That's not too low.
Here's the problem. I don't think at $449 it'll fly off just because PS4 Pro may drop the price.
No, it's not made. They are going to drop the price. Because they're going to compete with Scorpio.
Exactly.
This holiday season. But I think it's going to be a temporary price drop for the holidays, which I think they did that last year, both companies.
Okay.
Xbox has been doing it for a couple years.
But what if it's a permanent price drop? What if they do a permanent price drop in July or something like that?
I think that will happen. Depends on how much it's been selling during the holidays. Then they probably, because I think Xbox did that. They were selling a lot during the holidays.
Yeah, they were.
For a certain price. And they were like, you know what? We're going to keep it this way. So it's possible. I think Sony is definitely going to lower the price for the Pro.
I feel like if Sony lowers the price, brings the games, and also announce some new features for, like, you know, via firmware update, like some cool features that would shock people, like, wow, they could do this and update it. Mm-hmm. I think that triple threat right there would be incredible. That would be a solid E3 for them. Mm-hmm. For Scorpio, they have to leave not just a mark on what they're doing, but they have to leave a mark emotionally with the, like, you understand, people at Sony conferences was crying, like, when Final Fantasy VII Remake was announced on their stage.
That was a huge request since PlayStation 3.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, they had a lot of emotional standing ovation. Like, you couldn't even talk because we was just going crazy. Like, they need a moment like that with the Scorpio. So, I feel like Microsoft achieved that. They it's going to be crazy. Right. But then the main question is, what happens when Super Mario comes out at the end of the year?
Odyssey? That looks good.
That looks incredible.
That looks good, yeah. But I'm telling you.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot of things going on. And I can't wait for E3, man. Hip-hop. Right. That's the best thing about us hanging out at E3.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
It's just the community, people that we know. We hang out. We get to debate while we're in line to go to the press conferences.
With 15,000 extra people.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting.
That's going to be very interesting this year, man. So, yeah, hip-hop, man. Thanks for...
Now, God bless, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
And thanks for having me on High 97. That was pretty dope. I had a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. Even though that was like my third time playing... Or second time playing
NBA Playgrounds.
NBA Playgrounds.
Make sure y'all pick that game up, man. I'm telling you, it's fun.
If you love NBA Jam or NBA Street Home Court, got this.
This is the one.
And it has a pretty cool soundtrack too, man. So dope. Shout out to Matthew and the whole crew over there, man.
All right,
head over to GamertagWare.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And make sure to find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Until next time, thanks a lot, Hip Hop, for that. Until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.